Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Good morning across the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide the Civic Media app. I'm Todd Albaugh. It is Friday, the 17th of February, 2023. TGIF to you. Thank goodness it's Friday. Mr. Aaron Zommers on the board, a producer and engineer. We made it, Aaron. Made it to another Friday here on the show.
We sure did.
How about that?
An exciting one at that with lots of guests.
Right.
Getting a lot of cool perspectives on the military, on pro sports, and soon on the law.
The law. Absolutely. No one does it better than our friend Matt Flynn. He's coming up here in just a few minutes to talk about this New York Times story breaking overnight that Fox News knew what was going on in 2020, and still they perpetrated and continue to propel the big lie. Talking to Matt Flynn here in just a few minutes. Aaron, what a second guest there, and Mr. Ewing, as always, insightful. I had no idea that NFL draft. I mean, you're basically just hung out there like the farmer's market, like a cucumber, a potato, people passing you by and poking and prodding. I had no idea that went on.
Yeah, I mean, hearing about it, it makes sense. But I never would have thought of that, that.
No, you're right. I mean, because, a lot of these teams, depending upon, like Brady said, where you're getting drafted at, in what round, first or fourth or fifth, whatever. In the first round, teams are making, millions of dollars of investment in a person, or hundreds of thousands of dollars. And, you don't want that investment to go for naught. So, it's kind of like kicking the tires and taking it for a test drive. But, boy, if you're the human being that's acting like the car, I'm sure it can be a little disconcerting. So appreciate Brady Ewing being open and vulnerable. Let us hear a little bit about the insight of being a draftee. And congratulations and good luck to all the Wisconsin Badgers and others who are in that process right now and getting ready to go into the NFL draft. Let's take a look at what we're into as far as weather today around the state of Wisconsin. First of all, starting in the Driftless in southwest Wisconsin, WRCE, news from the center in Richland Center. Great day today. Sunny skies, a high of 27 degrees. Tonight, mostly clear and breezy, a low of 22. And tomorrow, Saturday, mostly sunny and a high of 42 degrees. Up in Wausau, Bull Falls Radio, WXCO. Another great day as well. Sunny skies, 24 tonight. Partly cloudy, a low of 19 degrees. And tomorrow, Saturday, mostly sunny and a high of 34. Over in Amory, WLAK, Lake Air Radio. Our friends there in northwest Wisconsin. Sunny, then breezy in the afternoon, a high of 25. Tonight, partly cloudy, a low of 17. And tomorrow, Saturday, partly sunny, a high of 35 degrees. Just going to be an outstanding weekend all across the state of Wisconsin. Here are your headlines at 9 minutes past the hour of 10 o'clock. What you need to know on this Friday, the 17th of February, 2023. President Joe Biden yesterday said his administration still does not know exactly what the mysterious objects over North American airspace were, but there is no indication they were tied to China's spy balloon program or surveillance vehicles from other countries. U.S. intelligence officials have said the objects were most likely balloons tied to private institutions or research. Appearing in our first hour today, Brigadier General David May, commander of the 115th Squadron of F-16 fighters here in Madison, which were scrambled and used to shoot down the unidentified object over Lake Huron on Sunday, confirmed the president's remarks, saying that he couldn't really go beyond what the president said, but confirmed that. We played audio earlier of the pilots in the 115th intercepting that octagonal-type object over Lake Huron. Also, General David May giving us insight on what goes into preparing for operation like Sunday and other operations that our airmen and women do. If you want to hear that full interview, go to our website, civicmedia.us, or any place you get podcasts. Mr. Zommers already has it up and running for you. You can listen to the entire thing on the Todd Albaugh Show online. Separately, yesterday, President Biden underwent a routine physical, and his physician said he remains, quote, healthy and vigorous, and is fit to successfully execute the duties of the presidency. Overseas now, at least three more people have been pulled alive from the rubble of a devastating earthquake 10 days after it struck parts of Turkey and Syria. a rescued 17-year-old, was dubbed the Miracle Girl when she was found alive underneath the debris in Turkey on Thursday, 248 hours after the February 6th earthquake. Ukrainian President Vladimir Zelensky has ruled out ceding any territory to a potential future peace deal, saying it could lead Russia to keep coming back, he told the BBC News. This comes as Ukrainian troops are running low on weaponry and are burning through ammunition faster than the U.S. and NATO can produce it. Lawmakers in the EU Parliament also said in a resolution adopted Thursday that European leaders must, quote, seriously consider providing fighter jets, a move that many Western officials has said is off the table. Closer to home, state and federal officials held a news conference yesterday in East Palatine, Ohio, as residents expressed frustration about the response to a train carrying potentially deadly materials that derailed in their town nearly 2 weeks ago. The EPA said they're focused on keeping people safe, adding the EPA plans to hold the train company, Norfolk Southern, accountable for its role in the derailment. Famed broadcaster Tim McCarver, who also won the two World Series during a long Major League Baseball career, died of heart failure yesterday. He was 81. U.S. Senator John Fetterman of Pennsylvania checked himself into a hospital this week to, quote, recover or receive, that is, treatment from clinical depression. His wife, Giselle, said, quote, I'm so proud of him, asking for help. Senator Fetterman was elected in November after suffering a stroke in May of last year. And a big bombshell piece in the New York Times. Fox News, they knew what was going on. What are the legal implications? We will ask Matt Flynn next. Stay with us. You're on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back to the Todd Allemoll Show. No, you have not set your dial ahead. It is not 3 o'clock in the afternoon. It is actually coming up on 10:15. But I wouldn't blame you if you didn't think it was 3 o'clock in the afternoon, because that is the theme music of the great program here on Civic Media, heard across the state every Thursday afternoon, Matt Flynn Direct. You can hear him every afternoon. Do not miss this show, because he gets right into it. The calls are open. You're not woke if you don't know history. Bada bing, bada boom. He's going to tell you exactly what's going on. I love it. Each and every day. He has given us the courtesy of his time this morning. I read this story last night in the New York Times. Came out a bombshell story. And Matt's been on this for a couple of days already. And I asked him to come on. So before I bring him on, I'm going to read you a couple of paragraphs here in this story, opening paragraph in the New York Times from last night by Jeremy Peters and Katie Robertson. Newly disclosed messages and testimony from some of the biggest stars and most senior executives at Fox News revealed they privately expressed disbelief about President Donald J. Trump's false claims that the 2020 election was stolen from him, even though the network continued to promote many of those lies on the air. The host, Tucker Carlson, Sean Hannity, and Laura Ingraham, as well as others at the company, repeatedly insulted and mocked Trump advisors, including Sidney Powell, Rudy Giuliani, in messages with each other in the weeks after the election, according to a legal filing made public yesterday in a defamation lawsuit against Fox by Dominion Voting Systems. The filing in state court in Delaware contains the most vivid and detailed pictures yet of what went on behind the scenes at Fox News as a corporate parent company in the days and weeks after the 2020 election. What was disclosed yesterday was not the full glimpse of Dominion's case against Fox. The 192-page filing had multiple redactions. Fox sought to keep much of the evidence against it under seal. New York Times challenging the legality of some of those redactions in court. The big thing here is, folks, the burden of this case falls on Dominion, the voting machine company, to prove that Fox acted with actual malice. It's a longstanding legal standard that requires Dominion to prove that Fox guests, hosts, and executives either knew what was being said on the air was false and allowed it anyway, or that people inside Fox were recklessly negligent in failing to check the accuracy of their coverage. A couple of quotes, and we'll bring Matt on. Quote, Sidney Powell is lying, by the way. I caught her. It's insane. Unquote. That from Mr. Carlson. Tucker Carlson wrote to Ms. Ingraham on November 18, 2020. Ms. Ingram responded, quote, Sydney is a complete nut. No one will work with her. Ditto for Rudy. And finally, Mr. Carlson continued, our viewers are good people and they believe it. He added, making clear that he did not. There's the evidence, folks. The depositions in court, the law will bring out the truth. And no one knows that better than a lawyer himself, former Democratic chair of the Democratic Party in Wisconsin and host of Matt Flynn Direct every afternoon at 3 o'clock. Matt, thanks for being with us. What do you make of all this?
Well, it's great to be with you, Todd. You have a great show. And I think you nailed exactly the issue. And let me just maybe restate it a little bit.
Please.
The media are normally protected under the First Amendment, a very, very strong history of that. I represented the Hearst Corporation, its TV, radio properties in Wisconsin, and other media for 40 years. And I've tried libel cases. And this is one where I think Fox has a lot of risk, and I'll tell you why. You are what's called privileged, if you are the media, or even if you're an individual person, to speak about public issues and a public figure. And it's called the public figure rule or the limited public figure purpose rule. And you can't have people sued for libel just because they say something about the president, a senator, a congressman, even if it's incorrect. Otherwise, you break them with legal fees. But in this case, you can overcome that by showing they deliberately did it, knowing it was false, or with malice. Malice is not what you think. It doesn't mean they don't like them or something. It means that they're reckless. And here, they knew. It was more than reckless. You cited several instances. There was one where Sidney Powell forwarded an email to Maria Bartiromo of Fox from a woman who said that she was a decapitated time traveler and felt that there had been, I'm not kidding, this is in the record.
I know.
And felt that there had been fraud. And these people went on with it anyway. So $1.5 billion in damages, they wrecked Dominion and they knew it was false. They did it because they were losing viewers to Newsmax and One America Now. They did it for a financial purpose.
So explain to people, if you will, because I don't know if I set it up that well. This is all stemming. This is not necessarily a case against Fox, you know, to get this information to prove that they lied about the election or knowingly lied. It was a money case, right, Matt? It was Dominion, these voting machine companies, that Fox kept saying that Dominion had fraudulent voting machines, and that's why Trump lost the election. Am I right about that?
Yeah, you're absolutely right about that. And what they claimed was, with no science, is false, that Dominion had a back portal, and that somehow, no matter what happened, that portal could be accessed and change the votes. And then some of them said it was changed in Italy. And this is all going out, and their viewership is very, very large, and they were hemorrhaging viewers, hemorrhaging them to One America Now and Newsmax. And they all got together, and they said, we know this is crazy. They use words like crazy, insane, crazy stuff. But then Tucker Carlson and Laura Ingram talked about one of the editors there was going on the air with that, and they said, fire them. We're going to lose more viewers if you say that. Well, but it's true that this business about Dominion was a lie, but they went ahead and they deliberately tore it down. And let me leave you with one thing, Todd.
Yeah.
They can absolutely report on what Trump said. You can go on the air, absolutely, and say Trump said that it was rigged and that Dominion voting machines were responsible. You can say that if that's what Trump's saying, but then you say, we talked to Dominion. You have to talk to them.
Right.
Dominion says that's a lie, and they're going to sue Trump and Giuliani for libel. If you leave it at that, that's what you can do. You can do that. But when you go on and mercilessly, like Tucker Carlson, Laura Ingram, Sean Hannity, all the rest of them, continue to flog this thing and adopt it knowing it's false, they're in serious trouble.
So, to help our viewers, if you're viewing on Facebook and Twitter, but predominantly our listeners understand this thing, this was a lawsuit brought by Dominion, a private company that has all these voting machines, and they're saying because of what Fox said on the air about them, they have irreparably harmed them financially from selling more of these machines or using them because of what Fox said. People don't want to use their company anymore. So Dominion's suing Fox for saying that you basically ruined our business from what you said, and you did so knowing that what you said was false. Have I got that right?
You got it 100% right, and I'm going to say two things about that. One is Dominion had a substantial market in Europe, European elections.
I didn't know that. A lot of European people now are,
yeah, they did. And they were, a lot of Europeans are saying, we know Dominion's a good machine, but if our opponents can make an issue of it, we don't need that. And the other thing that's beyond belief, I mean, Trump even did, was the guy that started this, is Dominion mostly sold machines to areas that voted for Trump.
Wow.
That voted for Trump. They did not sell machines in Philadelphia, New York City, and places like that. And yet Trump just pulled this out of a hat, and Fox went down the rabbit hole with him.
And so now you got this lawsuit basically over money on a company. You know, the company Dominion is suing Fox, and there's something called deposition. And Matt, can you explain that a little bit from a law perspective? Because am I right or wrong? This stuff about, I want to talk about this, if you can stay with us after the break here, is the what happened in deposition is it comes out that Fox knew what they were saying about the election was wrong. But can you explain what depositions are in a lawsuit and how this came out?
Sure. In a civil lawsuit, you normally don't have them in criminal lawsuits, but in civil lawsuits like this, each side can send a list of who they want to take a deposition of. A deposition is just like a courtroom in the sense that they're under oath and they have to answer honestly or it's perjury. And so all these people, Hannity, Laura Ingraham, Tucker Carlson, were smart enough not to lie. They said, we know it was crazy. We knew it was insane. You know, we got an email about a headless horseman or something that said Dominion was no good. And this is what we went with. And they said all this stuff. And here is the deal. Every media defendant who sued, and this was me on behalf of the Hearst Corporation, always brings what's called a motion for summary judgment based on the depositions, saying don't even let it go to a jury. And the media almost always wins. Here the judge said, no way, Jose, you're going to a jury, because the stuff in the depositions, if Tucker Carlson or the rest of them refuse to testify, they pass away, they go away, you can use the depositions at trial.
Wow.
As evidence.
That's
and their video depositions.
So to me, it kind of looks like there's two trains on this track. Number one, what we're talking about here is the direct issue of did Fox knowingly harm Dominion and cause them monetary harm by ruining their reputation. That's track number one, train number one. The second train on this track is the implication, not even the implication, the revelation, in my opinion, Matt, that we're finally seeing what a lot of us have known or speculated all along. You know, Tucker Carlson and particularly Sean Hannity, I might think Sean Hannity is a nut job on the air, but he's not intellectually stupid. I mean, right. he knew that Trump lost this thing fair and square, but for monetary purposes, for himself and for his ratings and everything, he keeps perpetuating this lie. And all the good folks that listen to you and I across this state, some of whom may have voted for Trump for various reasons, to us every day in Wisconsin who think, well, they're not lying to us. That's what they said. It's true. Here, finally, Matt, it's not us saying these things every day on the air. Now we have it in their own words.
No, exactly right. You hit it 100%. And remember something, Sean Hannity, Laura Ingraham, and the rest called Mark Meadows on January 6th and said, make him stop this. This is killing the brand of the Republican Party. Make him stop this because it's false. And they said that's been documented in the Meadows emails that were produced, and they wrecked Dominion voting. They're going to prove damages. They're going to say our European sales went down by 75%, for instance, if that's the truth. They'll say that all of these rural areas that we sold machines that voted for Trump aren't going to buy them anymore because they're afraid that their Democratic opponents will put these words against us. This is very serious stuff to wreck a company like Dominion.
I think it is as well. Can you stay with us for a few minutes after the break, Matt?
Sure.
All right. And if you want to call in and talk to Matt, ask him questions about this from a legal perspective or talk to us, we'll even take a call or two. Give us a call, 715-388-7155. Again, area code 715-388-7155. The number to call. We're going to take a break, come back with more with Matt Flynn of Matt Flynn Direct, a wonderful show in the afternoon. Again, the number to call, 715-388-7155. Quickly before we go to the break, Matt, what do you think this is going to do to the political terms? Does the revelation that these guys were lying about this stuff, do you think it changes anything politically, or people are just going to forget about it?
No, I think it changes it. Anybody who's fair-minded is going to say, well, Trump has been lying the whole time. But the problem is his percentage of support doesn't seem at all responsive to any new information. That's the problem. And in a multi-candidate primary, he could squeak in.
I agree with you 100%. We had Rick Wilson on yesterday. He said the same thing. We'll get more of Matt's take after this. Stay with us. You're on the Todd Oddball Show along with Matt Flynn. And this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
Show. It is 10:33 on the Civic Media Radio Network, along with the host of Matt Flynn, direct every afternoon at 3 o'clock. Matt Flynn joins us live, talking about this bombshell article in the New York Times overnight that Fox stars privately expressed disbelief about election fraud claims, saying it's quote-unquote crazy stuff, and that the private company Dominion, who owns these voting machines, as Pat has Pat, I'm almost back right low. As Matt has pointed out, Dominion is suing Fox for saying that there was defamation. It was you knowingly knew that you were hurting us and you sued us anyway, causing us great monetary damage. And so in its defense, according to reading now from this New York Times story, in its defense, Fox has argued that by covering Mr. Trump's fraud claims, the network was merely doing its job, as any media organization would, by reporting and commenting on a matter of undeniable worthiness. As Matt pointed out, the law shields journalists from liability if they only report on false statements. But here's the kicker. By endorsing or promoting falsehoods, while that's not protected, Fox's legal team has acknowledged that the former president's claims were indeed false. Quote, this lawsuit assails the First Amendment and news media's duty and right to report on matters of significant public interest without fear or liability, Fox said. Freedom of speech and freedom of the press would not be illusionary if the prevailing side in a public controversy could sue the press for giving a forum to the losing side. Fortunately, it added. So the point is here that Fox, in its own defense, has had to admit that what Trump said was untrue. I think that's the kicker, Matt.
Yes, exactly right. That is the kicker, and you accurately stated the law, Todd, and the law is this. They are absolutely privileged, so are you and I, and so is the New York Times, if they wanted to say, quote, something like this. Donald Trump says that the Dominion voting machines were rigged.
Right.
We talked to Dominion, and they said that is false. They're going to sue him for libel. Okay, yeah, you can actually do it. But these guys went on and promoted it, just sort of like Tucker Carlson promotes Russia, even though they're invading Ukraine, and we're fighting on behalf of Ukraine. He doesn't believe what he's saying. These listeners of his have got to understand that. He doesn't believe any of this stuff, and here he didn't believe a darn thing.
And I think
he said it was insane. Privately, he said it was insane.
And I think that's the sad part, Matt, because there are so many people that listen to our shows over the course of the airwaves in a day who are also watching Fox News and some of these other less reputable news sources, and they trust him, right? They believe him. They think that, well, this has to be the truth. They wouldn't say it if it wasn't true. The old school, right? It used to be that when you and I, you know, years ago, Walter Cronkite wasn't going to say it if it wasn't true. There's a right. form of trust there. But now folks are being sold a bill of goods, but to your point, they don't care about the news. It's about ratings and money.
Totally. They lost people to Newsmax, to One American Now, and I'll reiterate what I said before. They were all internally, and you said it too, saying it's insane. Sidney Powell's insane. And Maria Bartiromo of Fox said to Sidney Powell, do you have any proof of this? And Sidney Powell forwarded an email, and that's in this lawsuit, that's from a woman who said, quote, I am a decapitated time traveler, but I have information that the voting machines were rigged, end quote. She actually gave that to Maria Bartiromo. And Maria Bartiromo knew it was crazy, And yet they all continue to promote this stuff.
And this is what goes right. What Rick Wilson, founder of the Lincoln Project, was on our show on Wednesday. And this goes, what you just said, goes right into line what he said. Here's a guy, I mean, it's a crude term, but I used it, and he agreed with it. I said to Rick Wilson, I said, look, you're no, you know, progressive liberal. You were what we call the political business, a nut cutter. You cut the political nuts off of people as a conservative. And he did. And right. he's telling us, look, these people in MAGA today, it's a cult. I mean, it's an absolute cult that's fascist, authoritarian, and it threatens democracy.
Right. It's not American. It's really imposing commie government on our country. And let me give you an example. All of the data seem to show that Trump has really hardcore support with about 30-35% of the people. If there are 12 candidates for president, or even 8 candidates, they divvy it up. If he comes in first, it's plurality wins. He gets all of the delegates from those states. He could go into the convention, which, by the way, will be in Milwaukee. Todd, I have a feeling you and I are going to be broadcasting out of Milwaukee.
I think you're right.
And these clowns will come in, and he could get the nomination. That's the problem. Merrick Garland has got to prosecute this guy. I'm very tired of the reticence to prosecute Donald Trump. He's committed felonies.
I agree 100%. Want to switch gears a little bit, because it ties in, because as you point out, Matt, so often, how is it that fascism wins, Matt? How does that happen?
Right. And the phrase that I use, and it's a Carl Sandburg poem, it said, the fog creeps in on little cat's feet. My phrase is, fascism creeps in on little cat's feet. And because you don't get a guy with medals and machine guns show up at your door and say, become a fascist. It's one court decision at a time. We have 6 Supreme Court justices now who are just totally changing the Constitution. They're arguing a case called Moore v. Harper that will be issued this spring. And it very likely, if it goes the way I'm afraid it'll go, will say you do not have a right to vote directly for president. Yep. Your legislature can pick the electors. And everybody, even Republicans in Wisconsin, don't want that. But if Voss and these people say that's the way they want it, that is their support. The other thing is, and I'm breaking this at 3:00, but I'm going to break it on your show right now. DeSantis is on the radio in Idaho right now pushing a constitutional convention under Article 5. And if 3/4 of the states go along with it, Wisconsin voted for it under Walker, and they only need a few more states. A bunch of yahoos can get together in Las Vegas or Mar-a-Lago and redo the whole Constitution.
Wow.
Say that Social Security, you know, I mean, this is very dangerous. I can't tell you how dangerous this is. Fascism creeps in on little cat's feet.
I want you to know, every time you say that, when I'm driving, I hear it, I actually clap out loud. I love it. It's fantastic. I love it because it's so true. It's succinct and it's true. My favorite Matt Flynn quote of all time. It really is. And Matt, let's because I'm sure I know you probably get callers saying the same thing. So many folks, we bring these stories. And they say, well, what can we do, whether it's gerrymandering or the courts or the First Amendment or fascism is creeping in? And it's like, well, what can we do? There is something, Matt, that people can do, and it's coming up on Tuesday, this coming Tuesday, the 21st of February. Tell them what it is.
Excellent point. The 21st of February, the primary for the Wisconsin Supreme Court race, there are 4 candidates. 2 of them, this Kelly and this Doro, support gerrymandering. They are supported by judges who would not certify Joe Biden, and they will only certify Republican winners of elections. The sole champion who has a realistic shot is Janet Protasiewicz. Judge Janet, I know her well. Judge Janet was a prosecutor in Milwaukee, one of the toughest DA's offices in the state, for over 20 years, distinguished 2-term judge. She's tough as nails, and she said a couple of things. She said, these maps are rigged.
Yep.
The minute I get sworn in, you bring a map case. And number 2, that 1849 statute that's 174 years old, where women couldn't vote on it, quite frankly, and based on 19th century science, that's unconstitutional. So, but she's the only one. If you don't vote for Judge Janet Protasiewicz, Protasiewicz, and you wind up with Kelly or Doro, fascism will be creeping in on more than little cat's feet.
Here's an interesting point, Matt, from a couple of our callers this week. I'm not sure if you've heard it, but we may want to start doing this over the next couple of days because we've been saying, you know, the top two vote getters go on to the April general election, which is true. But I don't, we've had callers that said, I didn't know, people think they're going to vote on Tuesday for two people. And that is not true. Do not go into your voting booth and put two X's or pull two levers. You vote for one person. And I think we have to make sure that people understand that.
Thank you for saying that, because I had a call from a Milwaukee judge who thought she was going to vote for two people.
Right? This is something legitimate, Matt.
Right. Do not vote for two people. It invalidates your ballot. It won't count. You must only vote for one person. And if you want to get rid of gerrymandering, get rid of the 1849 statute, and also make sure that the winner, whether Republican or Democrat, who wins in 2024 is certified, vote for Janet Protasiewicz. Do not vote for anybody else. You're not able under the law to do that. And there is a lot of... Thank you for pointing that out, Todd. That's very important.
Well, I appreciate it. I'm not really glad, but I'm interested to hear that you had a caller on your show, too, because I think this is something that we've kind of missed as a whole in the media and other people missed because we keep saying go out and vote, which people get that now a little bit, but we keep saying the top two vote getters. And I see from, you know, you and I are kind of political geeks or nuts. We look at this stuff all the time. But for, you know, the spring election is usually very low turnout, the primary even lower, hopefully because this is so important, people will get out and vote. But I can see how it's confusing. But as Matt said, do not vote for two people, only vote for one person on the Supreme Court race on Tuesday.
Right. It would spoil your ballot otherwise. You will have, in fact, not voted. And the fact of the matter is that a lot of people, including a judge in Milwaukee County, who I will go unnamed, thought that she was going to vote for two people. You don't vote for two people. It's illegal. And it says vote for only one, but nobody reads the instructions.
Well, you brought up the point there that, of course, Judge Janet Protasiewicz was attacked by Republicans for saying the truth. I mean, she said the map that Wisconsin had are rigged. Which is the truth. You know, I've never seen a judge get attacked for telling the truth before. But the fact is, as Matt knows, there are federal and state laws when legislature redraw these lines they have to adhere to. Well, anybody with a basic law degree, except maybe one from Pat Robertson University, like Darrow and Kelly have, any other lawyer would understand this is they did not adhere to the law. So Judge Janet isn't being a quote-unquote activist. She's being a truther. Tell the truth on this, right?
Right. And you, everybody has got to understand this. Kelly went around the state with Gableman for a year. Right. And they spoke only to Republican Party meetings saying they wanted evidence of fraud. And he's busting our chops about Janet thinking these are rigged. Are you kidding me? This clown went around with Gableman, Bigfoot, Sasquatch, went around the state looking for fraud. They were up in Price County looking for fraud. There is no fraud. My mom was a poll worker in Random Lake in Sheboygan County. These are the most honest ladies. You know where you vote. You think these people are fraudulent? Give me a break.
Back in 2011, when I was working for Dale Schultz, Republican, and they wanted to pass all these voter ID bills, our office actually did our own independent. We had a great guy. Name was Joe, a graduate of UW J School, journalism school, did our own investigation. And back in 2011, 2012, the 2010 election, called reporters, called poll, did a lot of, it was a couple of months. We found two actual cases of voter fraud, Matt. One was a Republican staffer who had voted once in Madison and once up like in Rhinelander, where she's from. The other was the estranged wife at the time of Speaker Robin Voss, who had voted in Racine and then went out and voted with her parents where she was staying while she was getting rid of Voss out in Idaho. And the Republican DA, this is true, the Republican DA in Racine expunged it to cover it up. Those were the only two cases. Robin Voss's estranged wife and a Republican. So, I mean, this whole notion that there's all this voter fraud, it's just horse hockey.
No, you hit the nail on the head, and occasionally you'll have a guy, he's usually a Republican, who will vote somewhere, and then he has a cottage up north, you know, that kind of deal. Right. But the other thing is, the one other thing I've heard of, it was a Democrat. A woman is living with her mom. Her mom dies after the ballot comes, but not yet filled out. Right. She knows how her mom would have filled it out, and she fills it out. You can't do that, but that's not intentional. You know, that's right. Not invidious, for Pete's sake. And this, but Kelly went around with Gableman to try to gin up fraud.
Tell us one more time, Matt. Who's your choice on Tuesday?
My choice is Janet Protasiewicz. And please, only vote for one. Some of you may think, oh, I'm going to vote for Janet and this poor Mitchell fellow because he hasn't raised any money. Don't do it. I'm not casting stones here, okay? You can only vote for one under the law. You'll spoil your ballot. Don't throw a mercy vote to anybody else. Janet Protasiewicz. She will put an end to gerrymandering.
This is what I do every afternoon at 3 o'clock. It's a fantastic show. Matt Flynn Direct. Don't miss it on Civic Media. Thank you, my friend. Back with our final segment after this.
Thank you, Todd.
Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show. It is now 10:50. That's 10 minutes before the hour of 11 o'clock, 10 minutes before Kristen Bry and Jane Matinair come on with As Goes Wisconsin. Don't miss it across the Civic Media Radio Network at 10 o'clock, pardon me, at 11 o'clock, straight up at the top of the hour, As Goes Wisconsin. You don't want to miss it. And you don't want to miss Matt Flynn Direct at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Holy cow. I mean, that dude entertains me. He's informative. I love it. That may have been my favorite segment in our show of all time so far.
It definitely was very funny and informative.
Yeah. And informative. I mean, Matt Flynn Direct, you're not woke if you don't know history, 3 o'clock every afternoon, Monday through Friday. Great guest, great information. We appreciate Matt taking the time. Time now for the weekly segment you've all been waiting for. Time for Board Game of the Week.
Ready to rumble. I just wanted to say that at some point.
Very
but
good.
I think I might have to work on the voice and get it a little better in the future.
what are we rumbling about this week with Board Game of the Week?
We're rumbling about Hive.
Hive.
Oh. It's a two-player game. Pretty easy. Takes about 20 minutes to play. And it's like chess in that you have pieces that move when they have their own kinds of movements.
Oh.
But all the pieces are bugs, and you're protecting your queen bee. And there's no board. They just attach to each other. So they're like hexagonal pieces. Mm. So one person plays one, another plays another, attached to it on one of the sides. Mm. And you keep doing that until all your pieces are laying, and then you try to surround their queen bee so it can't move anymore.
Wow.
And then once you do that, you've won. You have different pieces, like ants just move one side of a hexagon at a time. Crickets will jump over the hexagon to the other mm-hmm. side of it.
So everybody has a hexagon piece?
Yes, okay. Each bug is a hexagon. So you have your bee, you have your ants, crickets, spiders, all kinds of stuff. It's not creepy. So if you're somebody who doesn't like bugs, the illustrations are just really simple and not creepy.
It doesn't look realistic. It isn't like you got it isn't like you got a centipede that you're picking up or anything.
Definitely. Nothing like that. So it's pretty quick. It's chess-like, but it's simpler and less intimidating than chess can be.
All right.
Plus, it's really portable because it's just some little hexagon tiles in a little bag or a box, depending on which version you get. It is $30.
Not bad.
A little more than I would have expected, but I think it's worth it. I don't own it yet, but my cousin does. I play it with him a lot. It's very fun.
What age group are you looking at there for the game?
Oh, I don't know.
That's fine. I mean, just in general, you think an 8-year-old could play it or
yeah, I do. Know? I do.
All right. So let's just say eight and up. Unless your 5-year-old is super intelligent.
Yes, the the box says 9 and up, but the community says 8 and up. So you nailed it.
Hey, look at that. Look at that. Do I know my 8-year-old games or what?
You sure do.
That's about where my brain level is sometimes, an 8-year-old game. It sounds fun. It's a tactile little bit as well.
Yeah, definitely. Nice, thick plastic hexagon pieces that are fun. It's pretty simple and quick and easy to teach people. So I definitely recommend playing Hive. And you can pick it up at your local game store. But it is also available on places like Amazon.
Very good. That is your board game of the week. Hive, H-I-V-E. Not hives. You don't want to get hives this weekend, but hive. That's what you want. We've come to the end of the show for the week. And once again, time to reflect, pause, and reflect, as Andy Spies, my 7th, 8th grade algebra and math professor, is fond of saying. Time to just take a minute and be reflectful. Math is in life, Mr. Spies always says. You have to pause and reflect. Pause and reflect. So, reflecting back on this week, Mr. Zommers, anything in particular you're grateful for? Anything you're feeling gratitude for, thankful for this week?
Yeah, I'm definitely, I know I've said stuff like this before, but grateful to be in the position where I can be in the room with these people that have such cool stories and hear what it's like to be drafted in the NFL and hear what it's like to be in the Wisconsin Air National Guard or things like that. And just get a lot of really cool perspectives on life.
Yeah, I say that. It had some interesting guests this week. Yeah, I'm very thankful to be here with a great crew of folks and a great company like Media, where we're allowed, right, to have this time, because a lot of stations, a lot of companies don't allow you the time to really get into depth and talk. I mean, sometimes you have like 6 minutes for an interview, and we got to spend, what, 40 minutes with a brigadier general this morning.
Yeah.
We got to spend 25 minutes with a former NFL player. So, yeah, I'll second that. Certainly thankful for the amount of time that that we have and to dig into these issues. And thank you. Thankful for all of them coming on the show today. Also thankful for all the, how about all the street people that are plowing our roads and out there. A lot of people are working around the clock to keep our roads and streets safe. So thankful for them.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And living in an apartment complex that has a big parking lot, that is something I am very grateful for.
Right? Yeah. When you live in an apartment, you don't have to do all that shoveling. So whether it's the private people keeping our sidewalks and parking lots cleared out, or whether it's those people working overnight and having to keep our highways, roads, our county crews, our street departments, all those people who do the hard work so that we can stay safe on the road. Certainly thankful for all of them as well. Thankful just for basic health. Once again, you know, it's always a good thing to see more and more people kind of getting reactive COVID and stay safe out there. But little by little, we're all making it. So happy for health as well. Just happy to have, you know, as I've said this before, it sounds simplistic, but like just be able to go home and having a place to be where it's warm and having shelter, basic shelter and food. Those things are certainly important as well. So what else? What else we're thankful for this week? A little sporting news. Thankful that the Badger basketball team got a win on Valentine's Night. Thankful for friends like Jeff Daniels and Vicky Daniels, who let me go with her husband on Valentine's Night. And the Badgers got a win. They'll get back playing again this weekend. Thankful that Aaron Rodgers has a place to be dark in and pause and reflect. Maybe he'll come out and say, okay, I'm ready to play for the Packers again. We shall see.
Who knows?
Who knows, indeed. It's been a great week. It's been a great show. My thanks to Brigadier General David May, who is the commanding officer of the 115th Air Wing and the Air National Guard. Thank you to him for making us first on his tour of talking to press after the Sunday mission. Thank you to Brady Ewing as well for talking about the NFL draft and his time as a player and as a great person. Thanks especially to Matt Flynn on Matt Flynn Direct. Listen to his show at 3 o'clock. Fascism creeps in on little cat's feet. It's a great quote from Matt Flynn there. And thank you to Mr. Aaron Zommers, as always, for being a great co-host and engineer, all-around great guy as well. And, of course, thank you to all of you for listening. Make it a great weekend in Southwest Wisconsin, everybody, and across the state. Until then, until Monday, keep banging on your drum. This is the Todd Allball Show, and this is Civic Media.